This is Mind for Survival with your host, Brian Duff.
Hey everybody, Brian Duff here, and as always, thank you for tuning in and making preparedness a priority in your life. You're an amazing person for doing that because so many don't. And in today's episode is one you're going to want to pay close attention to because I'm diving into two critical topics. First, a current event about a major story that's been flying under the radar, which has to do with Mexican nationals who were caught smuggling over 180,000 rounds of rifle ammunition here in the United States. So I'm going to break down what that means for you, your safety, and your preparedness, and why this isn't just a news story for you to ignore. Then I'm going to shift gears into discussing your own ability to spot danger before it strikes. I'll be sharing 7 situational awareness training tips that you can start using immediately to stack the odds in your favor, because we shouldn't depend on luck for survival. We should depend on our preparation to override everything that's out there so that we end up successful. So buckle up. This isn't about fear. It's about confidence, about being ready to go, and it's about being better prepared and more situationally aware. So let's go ahead and jump into this. Now, today I want to dive into a story that probably didn't get nearly the attention. I guarantee it didn't get nearly the attention it deserves, but it should, especially for those of us who take situational awareness seriously. Now, a few weeks ago, 2 Mexican nationals were pulled over in Cannon City, Colorado for what seemed like a simple traffic violation, failing to dim their headlights and improper signaling. Nothing out of the ordinary there, right? Except when the Fremont County deputies searched the white Chevy van that they were driving, they discovered 180,000 rounds of rifle ammunition packed inside. Yeah, 180,000 rounds. It was 18 cases at 1,000 rounds per case. The suspects were identified as Cesar Solis, 41, and Humberto Guevara, 24. Both were in the United States on B2 tourist visas, which are short-term visitor visas intended for tourism, vacationing, and visiting family, and that type of stuff. They're definitely not intended for work, residency, or transporting 180,000 rounds of rifle ammunition around the country. Once the ammunition was discovered by the police, Solis and Guevara were arrested and charged with unlawful possession of ammunition by aliens admitted under non-immigrant visas. Now, to help paint the picture on just how serious this is, I'm going to play a short 30-second news clip from KRDO 13 News in Colorado that really covers down on what exactly happened here.
2 Mexican citizens are facing federal charges after they were allegedly traveling in a car carrying 180,000 rounds of ammunition in southern Colorado. According to the criminal complaint, Martinez Solis and Ivan Amador Gaviria were arrested after a Fremont County deputy pulled them over in Canyon City for not dimming their headlights as they drove by. During that stop, officers found 180 boxes of ammunition, each of which contained 1,000 rounds.
Now that you heard it directly from the mainstream, let's dig a little deeper into that. According to law enforcement, the 2 men said the ammo was destined for Pueblo, Colorado. They said that they purchased the ammunition in Salt Lake City, Utah, after traveling to Denver from Mexico, where they bought the van they used to transport the ammunition. So basically, what happened was they flew in from Mexico into Denver, bought this Chevy van, drove to Salt Lake City, picked up the 180,000 rounds of ammunition from wherever they got it from. Then they headed south towards Pueblo, Colorado. When they hit Cannon City, they forgot to dim their headlights. And next thing you know, cop pulls them over, looks in the back of the van, and it's like, hey, what do you got 180,000 rounds of rifle ammo hanging out here? So let's think through this though, right? The mainstream reporting hasn't definitively tied these 2 individuals to a cartel, MS-13, or any other criminal organization. But let's be honest. 180,000 rounds of .308 and 7.62 millimeter ammo isn't something your average gun enthusiast stockpiles in the back of a Chevy van. This amount of rifle ammunition suggests an organized, well-funded operation, and it doesn't take a counterterrorism analyst to recognize that the most likely end users are cartels or transnational criminal organizations. Now, some might wonder, were they planning to run this ammo south across the border into Mexico? And I don't think that's the case. And here's why. With the intense scrutiny currently on the U.S.-Mexico border, trying to move massive amounts of ammunition into Mexico is extremely risky. We've got the Border Patrol, the military, all kinds of stuff happening down on the border, ICE, all this stuff's going on down there, right? So even for experienced smugglers, that could be a tough proposition to have a van load of rifle ammunition cruising across the border. The bottom line is border security is ramped up, and a seizure like this would be a loss for any smuggling operation. So instead, it's much more plausible that this ammunition was meant to stay here inside the United States. And that leads us to two very troubling possibilities here. First, the cartels could be stockpiling ammunition in the United States to prepare for future conflict. I mean, there's been a lot of talk recently about potential U.S. military operations against the cartels. And the cartels are known when people target them, like when their leaders are captured and all that, they go to war. They start burning it all down. So if that were to happen here, it would make perfect sense for the cartels to pre-position weapons and ammo inside our borders, giving them the ability to strike back and get revenge without relying on dangerous cross-border supply lines. Second, the cartels may be acting as middlemen, and there's credible intelligence, if you listen to Sarah Adams and others, suggesting several thousand trained jihadi terrorists have entered the U.S. during the past several years, blending in with the ways of illegal immigration. If that's true, those groups would need weapons and ammunition, and the cartels, already being deeply entrenched in smuggling networks here in the U.S., and the cartels probably smuggled many of these terrorists in the country, so they already have contact and great relationships established, they would be the perfect suppliers of large quantities of ammunition. I have to assume that if one van was caught, there are probably multiple vans, who knows how many vans, of ammunition that have not been caught, that have hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of rounds socked away in different parts of the U.S. for cartels or terrorist organizations to use. Either scenario spells serious trouble for everyday Americans if it comes to pass. Now, if cartels are preparing for conflict, or if terrorists are arming up for attacks on U.S. soil, then the threat to soft targets like malls, grocery stores, schools, places of worship becomes very real, very fast. Remember, 3-4 months ago, there were reports of groups of individuals investigating and prying into and asking and inquiring about the security procedures for churches in both Southern California and back in Virginia. And a lot of people said that these were Muslim males, and I believe one of them had a tie to a terrorist organization. So they're going around asking churches about their security situation. Again, soft targets and everything that's going on. So this is why it is essential for each of us to maintain a high level of situational awareness every day. That doesn't mean we have to go paranoid, but we need to know how to work our situational awareness so we have a good idea of what's going on around us, because gone are the days of normalcy bias and the thought that that could never happen here, right? That was a mindset that we used to have. We can't have that mindset anymore. We must train ourselves to recognize the early signs of trouble, know and have a plan if something does happen, and to be prepared to respond, because the threats are already inside the wire. They're inside the borders of our country. It's just a matter of time. And ultimately, the world is changing fast. So staying aware, staying prepared, and staying resilient has never been more critical. So when it comes to staying aware, every day, the world around you is sending signals to you, right? Trying to let you know what's going on. Some of those signals are obvious. Some are very subtle and not so obvious. But the ability to pick up on those signals, to read the situation before it unfolds, can mean the difference between success and failure in overcoming the problems that may head your way. And in today's world of uncertainty, sharpening your situational awareness training isn't optional, it's a necessity. And the truth is, situational awareness training is about living consciously, stacking the odds in your favor, and putting yourself in a position to better manage both life's opportunities and its dangers. As a former Army Ranger, international security advisor, and paramedic, I've spent decades training and relying on my situational awareness to stay safe in high-risk environments. So today, I'm going to walk you through practical ways that you can quickly develop your situational awareness training so you're ready for whatever the world throws your way. Now, if you'd like to know more about situational awareness, I did a deep dive in my book, Mind for Survival. It's available on Amazon. Head over there, put in Brian Duff in the search engine for books. My book, Mind for Survival, with my beautiful mug, will be on the cover. and that'll come up. Go ahead and get that copy today, because I do a deep dive into situational awareness, the survival pyramid, all this good stuff, and you won't go wrong by getting that book. And tip number one is to use the OODA loop to improve your situational awareness so that you understand what is happening in the world around you now and in the future. And if you're new to situational awareness, OODA loop, O-O-D-A, stands for Observe, Orient, Decide, and Act. It's a decision-making cycle originally developed by Air Force Colonel John Boyd for fighter pilots, but it applies perfectly to your everyday life too. It applies to business. It applies to everything. And it starts with observe, where you observe your surroundings. Again, through your traditional senses, our somatic senses, what do we feel? What is our subconscious telling us? We're observing what's happening. We're looking for correlations and all that stuff. And once we get all that information into our head, then we take that information, we sort it, we parse it, we compare it against old information, we run it through a filter of the human condition. And that's called the orient phase, where we work to understand what is happening in the world around us. And the output of what we work to understand is our perspective. It's our views on life, our views and our perspective on specific things that are happening right now. With that information from the orient phase, we then move into the decide phase, which is where we take that information and we make decisions about what we want to do with the information. And once we have those decisions about what we want to do, then that leads to actions that we take. Again, we observe, we orient to what we observe, we take that orient, we create a perspective, we make decisions based on that perspective, and then we take actions based on those decisions. And the key is that you're constantly cycling through these four steps. You don't observe once and move on. You're always feeding new information into your OODA loop to stay ahead of the curve, to stay ahead of the opposition, right? Good situational awareness isn't just about knowing what's happening right now. It's about also being able to make better predictions about what might be happening in the future. When you consistently observe and orient yourself effectively, you start to anticipate on how situations might unfold. This ability to predict, even just a few seconds into the future, gives you a massive advantage, whether you're avoiding potential threats or capitalizing on opportunities or simply managing your everyday life more effectively. It gives you a huge leg up on getting through things more successfully. So training your situational awareness also strengthens your decision-making skills and improves your overall problem-solving abilities, allowing you to act swiftly and decisively when necessary. In the end, mastering the OODA loop is a cornerstone of any serious situational awareness training program. Next, situational awareness training tip number two is you need to understand condition yellow and try to stay in condition yellow. Former Marine Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper developed a simple system to explain awareness levels known as Cooper's color code. And the color code is white, yellow, orange, and red, with white being when you're unaware and unprepared. Yellow is when you have relaxed alertness. You're aware of your surroundings, but you're not tense. You're not hyper fixated on something. Just you notice what's happening in the world around you. You're in tune, right? Orange, that is focused alert. That's where you've identified something in yellow as being not so normal. And now you're identifying that as a potential opportunity and threat. And you're kind of keeping a little bit more of a sharp focus on that, because that's sticking out a little bit more. And then red is action mode. That means whatever happened in orange has escalated. That opportunity is there. The threat is there, whatever that is. And now you're responding to that threat or opportunity. You're hyper-focused on that and handling business. Now, you should strive to live most of your life in condition yellow, where it's calm, relaxed, but tuned into what's happening around you. But let's also be real. You can't live your entire life in conditions orange and red. Living constantly in action mode isn't sustainable. It will wear you down physically and mentally. And as someone who's personally dealt with the exhausting hyper alertness of living in condition orange, thanks to my PTSD, I can tell you firsthand that that's not sustainable either. You have to allow yourself moments in condition white too. Moments you can truly relax, be at peace, and recharge. The key is knowing when it's appropriate to shift between these different levels and these conditions, and not letting your guard down when you need to be situationally aware. When it's go time, you don't need to be in the white, you don't need to be in the yellow, you need to be in the red. And because you can't always be in the red, there's times when you have to be in the white and yellow. Ultimately, what does that mean? balance in life, balance in situational awareness, balance in our alert levels is crucial. Situational awareness is about being ready. It's not about being paranoid, exhausted, or living in a permanent state of stress. It's about understanding, when do I ratchet it up and when do I ratchet it down? Next up, tip number three, know your baseline. And baseline awareness means knowing what's normal for your environment. For example, if you walk into a coffee shop, normal might be people chatting, baristas making drinks, the smell of coffee in the background, someone working on a laptop, people standing in line, all that typical stuff when you walk into a coffee shop. However, if you walk into that same shop and everyone is dead silent, staring at the door, staring at some weirdo in the corner, it's July, they're wearing a coat, they're sweating, something's off about them, that's abnormal. Sometimes it's not even the something you see that's happening. It's more of a feeling in the air, a heaviness, a tension, an unexplainable sense that something isn't right. Learning to recognize those subtle environmental shifts is just as important as noticing the obvious visual cues. But baselines just aren't external, they're internal too. So tip number four is trust your internal baseline. Situational awareness isn't just about watching your environment, it's also about paying attention to how your body feels as you move through your day. Because you have a normal internal state. You know how you feel when you're relaxed, when life is normal, when there's not a bunch of stuff going on. Your breathing is steady, your muscles are loose, your mind is calm. You know what that feels like when you're relaxed and things are normal. However, you also know what something feels off. Your body knows it before your conscious mind does. Maybe you feel a tightness in your chest, across your back, a change in your breathing, tension in your muscles, your legs are feeling like you have to get up and move, or that gut feeling that something isn't right is just lingering with you. These internal signals are your body's internal warning system, picking up subtle cues that your conscious mind doesn't know, that your conscious mind doesn't recognize, and therefore your subconscious mind is trying to alert you, trying to get your attention. Now, these sensations come from subconscious processes, your autonomic nervous system, your somatic senses, and your ability to sense your own internal state, which is called interoception. Examples of these subconscious alerts include a weird tightness in your chest before you even realize you're anxious. You don't even know anything's going on, but man, all of a sudden your chest is a little bit uncomfortable. And then you realize, hey, I'm anxious, I'm nervous, something's going on. Right? Maybe it's an automatic shift in posture because your body senses strain somehow, right? Have you ever had a slight shiver before you were consciously aware that you're cold? Maybe you've had that again, that gut feeling that something's wrong, even yet if you can't quite explain why. It's like your body is quietly whispering hints all the time. And if you're paying attention, because it does whisper hints all the time, you can pick up on these early warning signs much faster. Now, trusting and tuning into your internal baseline is a critical part of true situational awareness, because it'll alert you when, right? When you're in the white, when you're in the yellow, you might start noticing that stuff, and it can help you notice that shift in your baseline and be like, something's changing here. Let me look into it and see what exactly it is. And tip number five is how to scan your environment and read body language for threats. Now, scanning your environment doesn't mean acting like a hyper alert sentry with your head on a swivel. In situational awareness, noticing body language, subtle cues, is a foundational skill for detecting potential threats. Most of the time, situational awareness should be casual, simply being situationally aware of who and what is around you. Enjoy the world around you. Look at people, look at the scenes, look at the trees. Take time to smell the flowers. Notice the flow of movement. Observe what's happening. Look for possible dangers. Look for possible opportunities. Look for routes of egress. Look for what is off of the baseline. At the same time, paying attention to people's body language is crucial. Are they acting appropriate to the situation, or do they seem nervous? Remember, we're looking at shifts in the baseline, right? This is a shift in the baseline. The guy in the coat in Starbucks in the middle of July and he's over there sweating, that's a shift off the baseline when everyone else is in shorts, t-shirts, and flip-flops. Are they shielding something in their clothing? Is the person hiding something? Do they appear to be trying to not let you see something there? Are they clenching their fists, pacing, or displaying aggression? Are they nervous? Hands and body posture, the eyes. My paramedic trainer, when I worked in Atlanta, used to say that the eyes were the gateway to the soul. And so hands and body posture can reveal a lot, sometimes more than words ever will. So keep an eye out for it. Tip number 6 on how to improve your situational awareness is by limiting distractions. And one of the best ways for any person to immediately improve situational awareness is leave the phone alone. And better yet, when possible, leave it in the car at home. It's something I'm doing a lot lately. I take my phone to the gym because I listen to dystopian fiction audiobooks while I'm working out and a little of my 80s hairband metal and that kind of stuff. Other than that, my phone stays at home. What do I need it for? There's nobody that's going to, I'm not going to, when I was running the program in Iraq and I had a program under me, yeah, there was times when I needed to be able to make calls right away. But for the large part, most of us never have. We're not going to save a life when somebody calls us. We don't need to answer the phone right now. We had millennia as human beings, or 100+ years since the invention of the telephone, where we didn't have instantaneous contact, but we did have the ability to contact someone. Guess what? If they call your cell phone and you leave it on the charger in the living room, you'll be able to get the message when you get there. You'll be able to go back and look, did someone call? So I think, you know, while phones are a critical tool for emergencies, if you're constantly checking your phone, though, you're not paying attention to the world around you. And the world can change in an instant with you becoming the emergency. If you are paying attention to your phone and not what's happening in the world around you, you may end up being in the problem, right? Besides, if you're concerned about privacy, know this. Your phone, as most of you should know, especially being in the prepper world, your phone constantly tracks where you go, how fast you move, how long you stay somewhere, and even how you're holding it. They can tell if it's in your backpack, your back pocket, your front pocket, where you're carrying your phone, because, right, it has all the different stabilization, so it knows which direction it's facing and what it's doing. So they're very good at knowing everything that's going on in your life with that phone. So breaking that phone tether also breaks the ability to monitor your movements and track your life so easily. And maybe you're not, you know, hey, maybe it's not that I don't worry about someone necessarily trying to track me down and all that. I just don't want to give as much information. We give out too much information it is nowadays. So I like trying to condense that. Now, tip number 7 is practice what if thinking. And another powerful way to sharpen your awareness is to mentally rehearse different scenarios. Ask yourself, if something happens right now, what will I do? And here are some what if examples you can practice. What if someone bursts through the front door, right? What if someone, while you're sleeping in bed at night with your family's all in bed, tucked in and everybody's sleeping tight, someone just comes up and starts banging on the door. It happened when I was a kid. I think someone was trying to break in the house. They were banging on the door and we think there was another person hiding. It was a woman trying to tell us to let her in because somebody was trying to beat her up and stuff. And when we later on saw her walking with a guy, we think that the guy was hiding around the corner from the back door. And if we had opened the door, if my dad had opened the door, she would have gotten in. So if someone starts banging on your door in the middle of the night, what are you going to do? What if a wildfire threatens your neighborhood and you have to evacuate quickly? Run through that what if scenario. Your routes. What are you going to grab? You got your bags, your evacuation bags, your emergency kit, all that, your vehicle kit ready to go. What if you hear gunshots while you're in your shopping mall? We know that's on the rise, right? What if you're walking your car at night and you notice someone following you? Running what if drills conditions your mind and expands your situational knowledge to respond faster under pressure. It speeds up your OODA loop. It helps you get inside of the other person's OODA loop. So that way your actions are faster. Your actions are more effective. Doing all this primes your OODA loop to react faster and more effectively to developing situations that you've already thought through in advance. The bottom line on situational awareness training is, at the end of the day, situational awareness training isn't a prepper thing. It's a survival skill for everyday life, for everything we have, right? It doesn't just apply to threats and dangers. It also applies to opportunities. If you're not situationally aware, you may miss an opportunity when it comes along. Effective situational awareness gives you a vital edge in spotting trouble early and responding appropriately to whatever it is. Now, building and maintaining your situational awareness gives you time, it gives you options, and it gives you control, right? I talk about, what do I like to say all the time? It gives you time and distance between you and the problem. It strengthens your decision-making process, sharpens your problem-solving ability, and increases your chances of detecting potential threats before they become an imminent danger. By paying attention, reading your environment, and honing your instincts, you stay ahead of the threats and manage your physical response more effectively. And that's a great thing. And there you have it, everybody. 7 situational awareness training tips for you. Number 1, understand and use the OODA loop decision-making process. Observe, orient, decide, and act to understand what's happening in your world, to get that information, make a good decision, and have a good resulting action on top of that. Number 2, use Cooper's color code to stay in condition yellow. Relax, but observant, in tune with what's happening around you. Number 3, know your situational baseline of your personal environment. There's a flow to it. Does anything seem off? Number 4, trust your internal baseline. That's your internal instincts. What are they telling you? Are they picking up on something? Is your subconscious picking up on something that your conscious mind isn't registering and that you should pay attention to? Pay attention to those internal baseline shifts. Number 5, how to scan your environment and read body language for possible threats. What's someone doing? How are they acting? Look for their baseline shifts in what other people are doing. Number 6, improve your situational awareness by limiting your distractions. In other words, leave the phone at home, leave the phone in the car, throw the phone in the purse, leave it in your backpack, whatever, but stay away from it. Keep your eyes up, look around you, enjoy the beauty of the world, enjoy what we have going on, and at the same time, be ready for anything that comes down the street at you. And number 7, practice what if thinking. What if someone bangs on the door at night? What if there's a fire and we have to evacuate? What if someone breaks in? What if someone steals my car, tries to carjack me? What if? Go through all these different scenarios so that way you're that much ahead of the thought game when something actually happens. And that way you can keep yourself more safe, secure, and prepared should something come down. And with that, everybody, please don't forget, you can head on over to Amazon right now to pick up the Mind for Survival book if you haven't already done so. Get over there, put Brian Duff in the search bar. The book will come up. You won't be disappointed. And hey, with that, this weekend, if you're going to be at the Mountain Readiness Expo in Harmony, North Carolina, I will be there teaching 2 classes and signing books and all that good stuff. Mountain Readiness Expo, Harmony, North Carolina, this coming weekend, May 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, something like that. I hope to see you all there. And so with that, everybody, as always, stay safe, secure, and prepared, and never forget, you are just one prep away from being better prepared. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Mind for Survival podcast at www.mindforsurvival.com. That's www.mind4survival.com.